everyone, and welcome to the Grays Minicast. I'm Becca, and I'm your host. This week's topic is some of the best acted moments in the show. This is a very subjective category, and I tried to pick moments that really hit me because of their acting ability of the people in the scenes. So I hope I did a good job, and I hope that you guys like what I picked. The first moment is a Christina moment. It is the speech she gives to the chief and the board about Burke leaving the, It's unbearable speech. So here's that clip for you now.
Going through all the forms, I noticed you didn't turn yours in.
No, sir.
I need you to. The hospital is still liable even though Dr. Burke isn't here.
Relationship, President Burke, on paper. Satisfied?
I know this is difficult for
you. It's not difficult, sir. It is simple. Burke is not here. He's gone. And he's the better for it. He's winning the Harper Avery Award and being celebrated all over the world. That is not difficult. He's out there. And I'm here. Where everything is the same. I still live in his apartment. I walk the same halls of this hospital. I wear the same scrubs. Even that is not difficult. This is where I am. This is where I choose to be. But, sir, when his hand was shaking, I performed his surgeries. I kept his secrets. I nursed his pride. You know it, and I know it, and he knows it. He knows it. And yet nowhere in that newspaper article does my name appear. I am the unseen hand to his brilliance. Excuse me. And yet, while everything is the same, it's very, very different. Now I'm lucky if I get to hold a clamp. Han treats me like I was his hand. And now I'm a ghost. That's not difficult. It's unbearable. I know everybody is proud of him, but I'm not. And I do not wish him well.
I am a sucker for Christina emotional moments because she doesn't really have many over the course of the show. And I love this because it kind of shows all of her feelings about Burke leaving and Erica coming in. And all these different things. I really love this moment. I love that she, you know, everything's the same. Same apartment, same clothes, same, you know, hospital. But I'm doing a tenth of what I was doing before. I'm holding clamps if I'm lucky versus kind of performing these surgeries. And it really opens a window for us into how she processes. Everything is unbearable, but nothing's changed for her. You know, her life, except for Burke being there, is exactly the same. Everything except for work is exactly the same. And it's kind of unbearable and sucky for her, and she just kind of does it anyway because that's Christina. And she wants to be there, she wants to learn, she wants to perform surgeries, and she can't. And that really sucks for her. And this was kind of our window into that, and I really appreciated them giving us that window. I think it's extremely rare for a breakup between two characters to give you more hope that those characters will end up together. And for me, when I saw Callie and Arizona break up, I had more faith they'd get back together. Because the reasons they parted weren't on grounds of cheating, you know, character flaws, all these things. They were on grounds of different choices in lifestyle. And I really thought that somehow they would be able to fix that. And I really thought somehow they would come back together. So when I saw how they broke up and how it was kind of a very amicable split, you know, Arizona said, I'll get my things. There wasn't screaming, fighting, yelling. I really liked how they ended it. And here's the clip before I talk more about it.
And feeling way too much.
Hey, we scored. My cousin said we can use their timeshare. So, Fiji, we can either go at the end of this month or we could save up 3 weeks of time and rearrange our surgical schedules and go at the end of next month.
Try as we might to keep from feeling pain.
What's that?
This cute girl's number. And I can't get it off. And I'm not gonna use it. I don't wanna use it. But I can't stop wondering if maybe she wants a baby one day. Everything about you. But there's this one thing that I need. I can't change it, and I can't ask you to change. I don't want you to change.
I can't be the one that keeps you from having a baby. I love you too. And we can keep going.
And I don't know where we're going. Still don't know.
Come here.
Sometimes it's just unavoidable.
We'll see each other at work. I'm so sorry. I love you.
Me too, me too.
Sometimes, that's the only thing left.
I honestly watched this scene probably 100 times. And every time I watch it, I find a new kind of facial expression, a new sign or a signal about the acting quality of the shot. And I think the acting is what really makes it. I think that Jessica and Sada did an amazing job of acting this scene out. I really don't think that on the show many of the actors could have pulled this off as well as they did. And I really commend them kind of for their ability to, you know, play these two women who are so in love and want each other so badly, and watch them kind of fall apart. But the core of what they are and can be is still there and intact, and they still love each other. And I love that scene. And what really strikes me is that we just rewatched it, is that Arizona doesn't say, "I love you," because I think when Callie says, "I love you," Arizona hugs, and they're hugging. Arizona hugs her and says, "Me too, me too." She doesn't say, "I love you" back. And I think she doesn't because it's too hard for her to say it. And if she says, "I love you," in that context, I think she thinks it's over. And she doesn't want it to be over. And it's really hard for me to watch that and not, you know, have a tear in my eye because it's that good. Richard and Ellis's story is one that I have an affinity for that I don't know why. I really love their storyline. And when they did the scene where Ellis is in the hospital, she's regained her memory, and Richard comes in and they talk about the life they could have, that really is something that I loved watching, and this is the clip of that.
Just me. I heard you're having surgery tomorrow.
Do you?
Do I know who Meredith is? Do I at least recognize Meredith?
You know she's someone important. Someone who loves you.
You look out for her. Because she's got so much more to learn, and I won't be able to teach her.
I'll look out for her.
I wish I could go back. I'd do everything so differently. I'd fight harder for you. I think if I'd fought harder for you, maybe.
We would have had a wonderful life together, Ellis.
You think so?
I do. We would have done our fellowship here. And then you would have fought me for chief and probably won. And I wouldn't have minded. Because we'd have kids at home.
We have kids?
Meredith would have needed a brother and sister. Kids need family.
We would have been a family.
Probably bought that big house on Parker, the one with the barn. Yeah, that's a good place for a family.
I would have been happy. Just like Meredith says, she's happy. And that would have changed everything. Maybe. But we'd be fine and we could move all together. And life would be so perfectly ordinary. My life is so unfinished. It's unfinished, and I'm not finished.
No, Alice. Don't think that. Just close your eyes. And think of the family. Of the house.
And you there every night to come home to.
And me there.
I don't really think Ellis had a happy life or was a happy woman. We don't really know about her growing up, but we know by the time that she was a doctor, she wasn't the nicest person in the world. The flashback in the Time Warp episode really showed us that. The only thing she cared about was medicine and Richard. And when she lost Richard, you know, she had Meredith in medicine, and Meredith grew up at the hospital because she, you know, didn't have a babysitter, so she brought her to the hospital. And I really think that Ellis wasn't a happy woman, and that's what drove her to be the surgeon she was. I think if she had Richard and had another child with him, that she wouldn't be, you know, the multi-Harper Avery Award-winning, world-renowned cardiothoracic surgeon that she is, because she wouldn't have had that loneliness and kind of pain of all that driving her forward. She wouldn't have had that, you know, kind of in her system. She would have had somebody waiting at home. She would have had children other than Meredith. She would have had all these other things. And I think for her, you know, she wasn't happy. She was very lonely. She had a very kind of sad, desperate life, except when she was in the OR. And I think that's why she was so great in the OR, is because that was the only time she felt like she had control of her life. And I wish we got more time with her. I wish we got more episodes with her. I wish we got more of her storyline. I love Kate Burton's acting. I think she does an amazing job as Ellis. She doesn't play it too evil, but she plays it just, you know, kind of a hair past, you know, normal crazy. She plays it into that kind of driven, super, you know, type A personality, and I love the acting she does. The last scene is Meredith's confrontation with her mother when they're trying to decide about the heart surgery. So here's the clip for that.
I'm not sure refusing treatment is what you
want
to do.
Apparently what I want doesn't matter. It isn't even legally binding. So it's really about what you want, Meredith. You're in charge.
Do you think I like making these decisions for you? Do you think it's fun to get calls from the nursing home asking whether I was planning on giving the nurse who changes you every morning a Christmas tip? But I do it because you have managed to alienate everybody else in your life. And I am the only one. So I have to step up and do it. You want to know why I'm so unfocused? So ordinary? You want to know what happened to me? You happened to me.
Then let me refuse the heart surgery.
No.
Why not?
Because killing my mother is not going to be another thing that happens to me.
Ellis has Alzheimer's, and because of that, Meredith never got to kind of have this fight with her about, you know, all the things she did to her and all the, you know, she alienated all these people and all that. She never got to have that real fight with her mother as an adult. And this kind of gives her that opportunity to air all of her grievances and to do all of that. And I really liked the way it was acted. I liked the way that Meredith kind of said these things that, you know, I'm not going to kill my mother. That's not going to be another thing that happens to me. And I just thought it was an extremely well done and beautiful scene. This episode is brought to you by the Grays Fan Fiction Board. The Grays Fan Fiction Board is where you can find fictions of all pairings and great topics of discussion. That's the Grays Fan Fiction Board, graysfanfiction.aimoo.com. You can also find us on Twitter, username Grays Fan Fiction. This is the Grays Podcast. I'm Becca. I've been your host. Tune in next week for our last mini cast before the season starts. We will be back during the winter hiatus.